Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
We were discussing Jesus Christ, our Lord, as our perfect example when time ran out on us the last time we were together. And from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 18, is where we receive this instruction. Servants, be in subjection to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is acceptable with God if a man endureth griefs, suffering wrongfully. Well, what glory is it if when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died unto sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Christ, our perfect example. A most interesting thing. As a matter of fact, we pointed out the importance of focus in life. That simply means man must have leadership. What is the example? I mean, where is the source of instruction? Who am I? How should I conduct myself in this life? That's all important. Now, we understand that schools need teachers. We pointed that out, did we not? Sure, she gives focus to their effort or makes demands of them. Is being a student always pleasant? No. It seems like there's more homework than we could ever get done. Oh, the teachers make demands. That's what teachers are for. Yes, sir. Homes need parents. Nations need leadership. Focal point. Authority. We live within the framework of such authority. We understand the value of leadership. But you know, in things spiritual, and really, that's what life's all about, as we pointed out. Everything here is temporary. All things material will cease to be. But you and I, made in the image and the likeness of God, will live forever. Then how should we conduct our lives? Friends, leadership is important. We have the perfect example in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, just in simple practical terms, Christianity actually grew during the personal lifetime of Christ, did it not? Sure. He is our example. Oh, and he requires of me that I do my best to exemplify the principles that he made valid in my conduct. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an ensample to them that believe in word, in faith, in love, etc. Didn't Paul give that instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12? Yes, sir. Be thou an example in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity. Yeah, but Timothy is just a man. I mean, how? Oh, he follows the perfect example. You and I can be influential in the development of spirituality in the lives of others if we exemplify the life of Christ. He is our perfect example. So I need to read his word regularly, learn what he was like, who he really is, and order my life by the simple instruction herein contained. And it covers every area of human need. You know, things in this whole world, as we said, change. No, everything. Ultimately, gradually, it may change. Oh, but human need never changes. Remains exactly the same. And this book, the words of Christ, provide every need that I have. Said. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly, that's completely furnished, unto every good work. So important. Ah, hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. You know, in His personal ministry. Ridiculed by the religious leaders of the day? Yes. Rejected by the politicians of the hour? Indeed. Ultimately scourged and crucified? Right. Well, somebody says, man, that's a total failure. I mean, that just destroyed. No, this is the accomplishment of the will of God. You see, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I would be eternally ruined. Oh, but He came, the guiltless for the guilty, the pure for the impure, and gave His life to redeem my soul. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. I am the sinner. No way I could pay the debt. But then the innocent Son of God did that for me. That is a degree of love beyond my ability to fully comprehend. Believe it with all my heart, but I cannot fathom the depth, the height, the width, the length of the love of God. There's just no way. But He made atonement for my sins. Now, He asks of me that I, in turn, follow Him in the accomplishment of the will of the Father. Now, the design of His death and resurrection is the salvation of the souls of men. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. How can fallen humanity be reconciled to God? Through the instruction contained in this book. Yes, but someone says that's spiritual. That's right. That is the element that I am to emphasize in my thought, speech, and conduct. I am to demonstrate to an unbelieving world who I really am, made in the image and the likeness of God, and that's shown when I use Christ as my perfect example. But you know, in the practical aspects of daily living, Christ is our perfect example. For instance, in the area of simple obedience, Christ is the perfect example. I remember in Luke chapter 2, you remember verses 41 through 51? We'll not deal with all of that, but Christ was separated from His parents. 3 days later, they found Him in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And they that heard Him were amazed at His answers and understanding. He's 12 years old. He is only 12 years old. His mother said to him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Knew thee not that thy father and I sought thee sorrowing? And he said this. He said, How is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be in my Father's house? At 12 years old, he's becoming conscious of the great work that he came into this world to accomplish. Yes, but verse 51 says, He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and He was subject unto them. What do I learn from Luke 2, verse 51? Oh, the lesson of obedience. Children, to be obedient to their parents. Oh, and you children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Oh, didn't Paul teach that by inspiration? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? Yes, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thy days may be long in the earth. Friend, it is such an orderly, peaceful relationship. When I understand that obedience is fundamentally important in this life. Sure, there may be certain things that I don't like, certain things that I don't really want to do. And yet, in the overall arrangement of things in this life, there are many things that I have to do that are not pleasant, but they need to be done. And I need the disposition of mind, the determination, the will, to accomplish that which is productive and beneficial for humanity. Now, in growing up, developing a sense of responsibility toward my peers, and in the accomplishment of those things that are essential in this life, there's discipline that's required on the part of parents. He that spareth the rod hateth his own son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So is that Proverbs 13, about verse 24? Why, certainly. Love makes correction. And that's what parents are for, to hold me within the framework of given authority. Oh, but Christ is my perfect example. He went down with them, subject to it. He's the Son of God, right? At age 12, he's coming into a consciousness of the work that he's going to do. Went down with them, came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thy days may be long in the earth. All things being equal, if you follow the instruction of godly parents, not only will life be more pleasant and much more productive, but all things being equal, you'll probably live longer. At least you will avoid the dangers and the risks that characterize this old world. Now, some things you will have to endure. It's understandable. Oh, but most of those things you can avoid when you follow the good instruction of godly parents. I remember Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, young people were to remember Jehovah in the days of your youth. Oh, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Friends, we need to look to the Lord for guidance. Oh, and Jesus Christ, who came into this whole world, took upon himself flesh and blood, lived a perfect life. That is, he set for me a perfect example in every area of life. Someone says, there's so many temptations. I mean, as Paul said, Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Man, he places so many obstacles and hardships in the way, so many difficulties. It's just almost impossible to do the things that the Lord wants. And Christ is our example in overcoming old Satan, isn't he? Sure. I remember following his baptism. You can read it, of course, in Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 1, or in Luke chapter 4, the same narration is given. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, just a moment. That's prefaced with this statement. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he's done without ingesting solids as long as the human body can endure. If he doesn't eat in just a few hours, then he'll die. And Satan came to him and hit him right at his weakest point. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. What did the Lord need above every other material need? Bread. He needed physical sustenance. He cannot endure. What did he say? He said, it is written. Now, wait a minute. Christ set the perfect example for me to follow. Right. He is at the point of death due to fasting. He needs physical sustenance, bread, more than any other thing on this earth. That's right. If he doesn't have it, he is very likely to die in the next few hours. That's correct. What did he say, friends? He put the written, revealed Word of God above his own physical life. Now that sounds strange to an old boy, you know, girded in flesh and concerned with the things of this material world. But when I really understand who I am and from whence come the blessings of life and whose servant I really am, then I need to put his word above my physical welfare. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning at verse 3. He hath humbled thee, he hath suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Put the written, revealed Word of God above his own physical welfare. Well, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah, but old Satan, he doesn't give up easy. He, seeing the fondness of Christ for Scripture, he took him into the city, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Ooh, friend, the devil doesn't mind quoting Scripture. He'd rather use the Scripture to condemn you than any other source available to him. Well, he's doing it today. by the multiplied millions. He is using Scripture to misdirect the minds, the hearts, the lives, the conduct of people. And that is a tragedy beyond description. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he hath given his angel charge concerning thee, on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou shouldst dash thy foot against a stone. Is that true? Sure. Psalm 91. He quoted that as accurately as any apostle ever quoted a statement from the Old Testament in the New. That's exactly right. Well, now, Lord, I mean, what are you going to do with that? Now, listen. He is my perfect example. Oh, Jesus said, it is written again. Oh. Then he quoted Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Wait a minute. What am I learning here? Well, you remember that Paul said, study. I mean, make it a point. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. In other words, we need to put this together as it's written. As we've said many, many times, the word of God is a unit. Every word in harmony with every other word. There are no valid contradictions in the word of God, Old or New Testaments, or between the two. When you think you found a contradiction in the word of God, just bear in mind you don't know all the Bible is teaching on that subject. Rightly dividing the word of God means that we put it together as it is revealed. Now, is indeed Psalm 91 about verse 11 true? Well, certainly. He's going to protect Christ, provide for him until he accomplishes his work in this earth, human redemption. Well, then, why don't you just jump off, Lord, or step out and run a speeding truck? Why don't you... Friend, that wasn't why he came. That's not what life is all about. No. God will provide, but he provides when I am within the framework of his purpose, his instruction. Oh, so then he would provide for Christ. And he did, I say. Mobs took him to the edge of the hill on which their cities were built. They were to throw him down headlong on the rocks, man. He just walked out from them. How did he do that? For the power of God. God takes care of him until he accomplishes the work that God has assigned him. But that does not justify going around tempting God, giving him an opportunity. Hey, can you deliver me from this? Would you? No. We need to rightly divide the word of God. Put it together as it is written. Christ is my example in overcoming temptation. Satan took him to a high mountain, you remember, in a moment of time, showed him the kingdoms of the earth. And essentially, he said, now, I'm in control of this. These are mine. But I'll give them to you if you just fall down and worship me. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How may I successfully traverse the negative influences and obstacles of this whole world? Friends, it is written. Everything I need to know is found in the Word of God. Written down, as we've said, between the 6th and 8th grade levels. Oh, and the length of the average word when you delete the proper names, less than 5 letters. So it is so important that I read this book every day. Every day, yes, sir. Stay in contact with Jesus Christ. It gives me insight into who I am. Oh, and it gives me instructions as to how I may circumvent the negative influences of Satan. You see, Satan is powerless over those who give their lives to the Lord. Isn't that essentially what Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 is saying? Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What is he saying? Christ came, took upon himself flesh and blood, and died to deliver a fatal blow to the head of Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, Satan then is rendered powerless over those who give their lives to the Lord. Oh, yes. He can make some hardships for you. He can create some problems. He'll put before you obstacles. But faith overcomes these. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Didn't James say that? Chapter 1, what is it, verse 4? Yes, sir. Temptations will arise, no question. Difficulties will be there. Yes, sir. Obstacles to overcome. Oh, that strengthens faith. Faith grows when we use it in resistance to Satan. But he can't take hold of you and say, you're going to do, No, no. Satan is rendered powerless by the love of God through the example that his perfect Son set for me to follow. Yes, sir. I need to follow the example of Christ. Overcome temptation, it is written. Now, good people, I've said it many times. One of the problems today, even in the Lord's church, is a lack of knowledge of God's Word. Problems arise through false teaching or deviations from truth, and that is indeed a false teaching, because the membership within the church is not informed. If you know the truth, you can't be deceived. It's out of the question. Can't be done. You see, this is a whole, a unit. When you know the truth, fellow teachers, false doctrine, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's just obvious. There's no question about that. That's why it is so important. As Paul said to Timothy, till I come, give heed to reading, to exhortation, to teaching. Oh, continue in these things. Give diligence therein. Oh, that your progress may be made manifest unto all. We need to read this book on a regular... Well, somebody said, preacher, I can't memorize that. No. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, what is it? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? Yes, sir. What I need to do is ingest it. Just read it. Yes, sir. As Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. John chapter 6 at verse 54 makes that very, very simple. How may I do that? Just read this book on a regular basis. Remember, oh yes, fill the heart with it, living and active. It governs the life. It regulates the thought. You will be in your conduct in harmony with the example that is set by Christ. No, you may not be able to memorize. You may not be as quick to do certain things. That's beside the point. I eat every day. Why do you do that, preacher? Keep the old physical man going. Well, yeah, but I don't remember everything I eat. And I didn't say, you know, to this pea, you take care of the blood, and to this chicken, you handle... No. I just eat. Oh, everything else taken care of. Yes, sir. Ingest the necessary food. I exercise care in so doing. Sure, moderation. Oh, but that takes care of the physical. Oh, ingest spiritual food. Read God's Word every day. Friend, it'll change your life. There's no question. Christ is our perfect example. Every word in this book is a word of Christ. John chapter 16 at verse 14. As I read and learn His will, and endeavor with all of my limitations and weaknesses to put it into practice, there is improvement. There is maturation. There is development. There is a greater Christ-likeness in my life, my thought, my speech, my conduct, my relationships, every day that I live. Hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, threatened not, but committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously. May God bless.